So my first instinct on reading today's lessons, set for the second service, as this is known in the Revised Common Lectionary, was, oh, come on. I thought we got beyond obvious links between all of the readings, Sunday by Sunday. I think that betrays more of my trigger of being a young clergy person who had to live with this every week until they revised the lectionary in the year 2000 and stopped it being quite so obvious. And once I took a step back from my youthful lectionary frustrations and looked again, I realized, to be honest, it's good to have the readings that we have this Sunday, where Jesus, talking in terms of the bread of life, explicitly links it to the manna in the wilderness. And the compilers actually give us the story to which Jesus is referring, though it does make sense. The I am sayings in John's gospel are unique to that gospel. They make a statement on behalf of the writers about Jesus' divine nature. None of the other three gospels, as you probably know, use this I am statement. So that should cause us to question whether Jesus actually used them himself or whether they're a part of the product of storytelling, meditation, reflection, and discussion in community that the compilers of the gospel named the Gospel of St. John undertook. Most biblical scholars would agree with Raymond L. Brown's theory that the gospel itself comes from a community that probably had links, or even had as a member, John the Apostle, or the beloved disciple, as he's referred to in that gospel. This community gathered these stories, and after probably about 70 years, this compilation of thoughts, philosophy, teachings, and stories was recorded and began to be circulated in a form similar to that which we have translated today. All of which is to say that these words are layered, filled with meaning behind the obvious, and references to both the Jewish history of Jesus and the early Christian communities, and the increasing antagonism between or towards Judaism of the church's birth. Hence, there are so many conflicts throughout John's Gospel with the Jewish leaders, and indeed, we find anti-Semitism throughout the text, as this community is breaking away from its founding faith and beginning to align itself with the Roman Empire, which was where what would become Christianity was beginning to establish itself and grow. And yet, there are these constant referrals back to the I am, the defining name of God in Hebrew tradition, showing this deep rootedness in the Hebrew understanding of the world and the connection that this community wanted to make with the faith of their forebears. The story begins when Moses asks God, who should he say to Pharaoh was the one sending Moses to talk to Pharaoh to free the Israelites? And God replies in that time with the name which is known technically, sounds like a really good name for a bad guy in a movie, the Tetragrammaton. The four consonants, no vowels word, which no faithful Jew will ever say, Yahweh, which is usually translated as, I am who I am, I am who I was, I am who I will be. God, the great I am. So any words of Jesus that begin, I am, are deeply layered. And then in today's linked reading, so is that story that Jesus refers to following the words, I am the bread of life. And that should lead us to the caution that we should take whenever we read either of these type of passages, that neither the passage from St. John nor the Exodus story that it refers to are meant to be taken literally. They call us to consider what's behind the initial story. These stories, which may not be literally true, but contain truths far deeper, meanings far deeper than we might see on the first, second, third, or 2000th look. The Israelites complain in the story of the Exodus. They complain repeatedly. That's part of the point. They are living in a place of fear and of anxiety, of worry about where they are going, what is next, how are they going to get what they need, and in many ways a place of what the heck is going on. These stories are about the birth and the identity of what are to become the Jewish peoples. Though there is no historical or archaeological evidence that any of this actually happened as such, the writers of these stories present them as much as creation myths as the stories in the first two chapters of Genesis. And in this story of Israelite identity, the answer to the fears of the people, the collective anxiety that they hold, is given as God provides. Metaphorically, I believe, in the form of manna and quails in the desert. The answer to the community's fear is a response that says there is enough, there is an abundance, there is provision. And this comes when the community listens, works, grows, and trusts together. And that, I think, is the message for us to take today. The message alluded to also in the gospel readings. God provides. God provides not necessarily the physical bread we need, but God provides the love, the support, the community, the grace that we need to be the community that takes responsibility in supporting one another and making sure all are treated with equity and fairness in the sharing of what we have. These stories, all with their layers of myth and metaphor, are meant to have a very real impact on the communities who claim allegiance to the divine, the Jewish people and latterly the Jesus movements. They are meant to move us beyond fear into hope, beyond the impression of scarcity into the recognition of abundance, beyond hoarding what we have into a just and fair sharing, and beyond binaries of who is in and who is out, who is worthy or unworthy, who is acceptable or not acceptable, to a place where all are celebrated for who they are and all have a place in the community of the beloved. May we heed the call to be that community. Thanks be to God.